From Puebla, it's Austin, Texas. This is Stacker News Live!
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Stacker News Live. This is our second try. Two times trying this out.
Two times the charm. That's second what Charlie Munger says.
Keon, how was your week?
My week was good. I recounted the first time how Angela McArdle stopped by PlebLab and told us the story of Ross's pardoning and how she got that done, which was a pretty cool story. And then we shilled PlebLab startups to her. I complained to her about money transmission laws. I think the Roman Storm decision, not decision, the verdict had come in. So we talked about that a bit. But that was probably the highlight of the week. Otherwise, a pretty normal week with somewhat clean air, as I like to describe, and clean water. How about you? How was your week?
It was a up and down week for me. But yeah, it's pretty good. I'm going to share some cool stuff towards the end. We got highlighted first from South By, which was really cool. That was exciting. Some cool stuff happened in the Yucatan. And then, yeah, really cool stuff. Just been busy here. PlebLab got a lot of stuff to do on that whiteboard right there. And yeah, it's going to be fun.
Okay.
With all that, let's jump into the top five stories of the week. If you've never seen this crazy show, just real quick, head over to Stacker News Live on YouTube. This is where we post all the stuff. Wumbo's working really hard. Last week's most popular video was this Patriot Act video that we had, where we were talking about the Patriot Act expansion. Really informative stuff. We even got into it really good. I think Topher responded too about it. Keon, I think, responded. ChatGPT even responded. It was good. It's a good discussion. Check it out. A lot of the Stackers enjoyed it. And if you haven't subscribed, hit subscribe. I think it's like 59% still that haven't hit that subscribe button, which is kind of crazy. So 59% of y'all are watching this right now on YouTube and haven't subscribed, which is weird.
It's not that weird. Maybe don't want to see the videos.
I know, but it's weird though. It's like 59% of the people that watch the show haven't subscribed. So does that mean
subscribed?
So does that, you're not subscribed? No, why aren't you subscribed?
I'm subscribed,
but like it's kind of weird. It's like, are you watching this because like you're stalking us, or are you watching this because you're just like,
no one's that interested in us, Car.
No one's that, or are they just getting sent these videos and they're like, look what Car said, look what Keon said, and they're just not hitting subscribe? They have to
I don't even think they know our names. I would guess they just,
well, I'm Car, nicest guy in the world, I promise. I only act this way on this show.
I don't think David Bailey would agree with you.
No, I only act this way on the show, I promise. I'm really super nice in person. I love tacos. This is Coob. He's really nice in person. He likes to read. Look, he's reading a book.
Reading a book waiting for Car to set up.
And this is PlebLab. This is where we work out of. And we got cool new stickers. Look, you can get them here. So there you
come to PlebLab. Yeah, you can get an SNL sticker.
Get SNL stickers. They're fabric. I don't know if you even touched them.
I did. I don't know if they're fabric. They just have ruffles on them.
No, they're fabric.
What kind of fabric, though?
I don't know. Sticker Mule makes them, so they're
fabric. Yeah, it's probably sticker fabric, just not real fabric. Cool.
Anyways, we're going to jump into the top five stories of the week here on Stacker News, the front page of Bitcoin. The number five top story this week is sharing the code for Bitcoin Backbone full node from the Ariad?
No.
The Ariad?
Ariad.
Ariad. Five comments, 20K boost. Got it up there. 3,057 sets. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, Antoine Riard is making their own Bitcoin node implementation and using libbitcoin kernel as the consensus engine for it. And the rest of it is written in Rust, and they're calling it Bitcoin Backbone. They had teased that they were working on it, I think, a month or two ago, maybe a little further than that backward in time. But I guess it's at the point where they're ready for people to maybe try building it and possibly even sync a node with it. I don't know. He writes a little bit in the comments about the build process. I guess it's not exactly ready, but it's ready enough that he wanted to have some eyes on it. The website is pretty lackluster, pretty plain, but you can get checkout his work.
Is that it? That the website?
That's the website.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I always use recording commits with block times, which is pretty neat. It's novel. But yeah. Well,
it looks like it's a work in progress.
It is a work in progress, as it says at the top.
Definitely work in progress. You know, a lot to be desired there. Hey.
Well, I think he's mostly interested in the code.
Yeah. And that's what I was alluding to. Good job. Cool. Let's read the top comments. Justin Shock said, now you have my attention. Gotta love that.
Yeah. There's a lot of lib Bitcoin lovers in the world.
205 says, I would like to know more about the process and working with it. Optimism. Longtime Stacker says, nice. Please keep us posted. There you go. Pretty cool. Awesome. Let's go to the next story. The number 4 top story this week is 1,337,337 sats withheld in controversial writing competition. This is in the books and articles territory. August 4th, Totally Human Writer posted this. 29 comments, 1,882 sats. Keon, is this more controversy?
Is it more controversy? What is the controversy?
This looks like more controversy on Stacker News this week.
Oh, I don't. What was the other controversy?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, controversy is the lack of controversy.
Yeah, I feel like we get a lot of controversy on Stacker News sometimes.
Okay. Well, apparently Brad Mills.
Who's Brad Mills for the Stackers at home who don't know who he is?
Brad Mills is a I know him, or the way I describe him to myself in my own brain is a rich Bitcoiner who invests, who's like an angel investor in Bitcoin companies. But I'm pretty sure he did invest in Geyser. I know lots of Bitcoin founders who have tried to get a hold of him, tried to talk to him about investing and have kind of struggled. But, you know, a very early Bitcoiner, quite well known in Bitcoin, and occasionally angel invests. And angel invested in Geyser, and in partnership with Geyser, this post is about his giveaway of over 1,000,000 sats to a creative writing thread. And the intention was that Grok would judge the thread, and the thread structure would be that anyone who saw this or wanted to enter this challenge would start a story and invite other writers to come in and add to their story. And it'd be kind of this this group story writing in an X thread. And then Brad Mills was going to ask Grok which story was the best and judge it on a few pieces of criteria. And I guess quite a few threads were created, quite a few writers participated, but Grok could not determine the winner because it's not kind of designed to ingest tweet threads like this. Mm. And no one has been paid out as far as I know yet. And that is what Totally Human Writer is writing about. Both that they did not get paid for the writing that they did and the work they did in their threads. No one got paid as far as they know. And that maybe AI should not be used to judge a creative writing competition because it's hard for a human to do, let alone an AI. And they go through and they try to use Grok themselves to judge the competition, and Grok hallucinates all kinds of information about the threads. And then upon subsequent runs of asking Grok who should win the competition, Grok yields a different answer.
So it looks like Grok, the actual bot, is that a bot, Grok, or is that an actual team member from X, like, responding to that?
No, that's Grok the bot. So okay. You can @Grok on Twitter.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, you can be like, @Grok, is this commonly you'll see in Twitter threads, the first comment is at Grok, is this true?
Oh, okay.
And Grok will
do Grok things.
Do ChatGPT like stuff.
Interesting. So it looks like the stories was 12 cryogenic capsules. So it looks like he actually had stories stuff, right? Like he actually had people.
He's listing out some of the other threads. He's not in charge of this. He's just recapping what happened. So these are the stories that he saw that entered, a few of them that entered the process, and these were the starts.
And they weren't supposed to post on Geyser, right? Is that what?
Oh.
Nope. Okay. Competition mechanics looks like, it looks like Grok would do a threat analysis. The results were by 1337 on the last day of July. I was pretty sure I had taken part in most. So it looks like this person, totally human writer, was the one that felt like he had done.
I mean, I recounted to you the story just before when you asked me what it was about.
Okay, sorry. Well, I'm just trying to wrap my head around it again.
Oh, okay. So I can tell you again, but yeah. So totally human writer was just a contest participant. But at the end of it, when they weren't paid, they were kind of curious what was stopping Grok from judging the competition. So they themselves ran, you know, behaving as if they were Brad Mills trying to use Grok to judge the competition. They themselves asked Grok to judge the competition. And
what does cajole into action? What does that
cajole
mean? Yeah, what does that mean?
Kind of like prod or kind of get, like try to force someone to do something. Cajole. I tried to force it into action.
Okay. And then he said over the course of 2 days, he replied, tell us the winner, please.
He didn't. I think it was other people. He's recapping what other people tried to get.
And Grok never gave him a winner.
Well, it wasn't just Grok. They were applying to Brad Mills, trying to get Brad Mills to get Grok to judge or himself figure out an alternative judging process. But again, I don't know how it stands today. This is at least a week after this post was written, nearly. So maybe Brad Mills did just judge them himself at some point, or maybe they're still waiting on an AI generated judgment. I don't know.
So why did they come to Snacker News for? Because don't we have a writing competition going on right now?
We do, yeah.
Is that?
Yeah. They are one of the people participating in, they put up the sats for the writing competition on Stacker News, and I believe they're also judging it.
Who, Brad Mills or?
No, the OP of this
post. Okay, well then, yeah, I would just say fork that competition. So I'm going to drop a link underneath Brad Mills and say, yo, this one's not paying out. Come to the Stacker News writing competition. Bring all your writing thing and come here. That's what I would say.
Yeah, the main thing is Brad Mills's competition was it was like a group written story where I would write one paragraph, and then another account on X would write the next paragraph and so on.
Oh, somebody should grab all that and then post it on here on Stacker News, and then if you win, you pay out all those people. That's what I would do. I don't know if Siggy and the rest of the judges will let that fly, but yeah, crowdsource it. I don't know. What did somebody say? Did Siggy respond to this?
I don't think Siggy has anything to do with that competition. So
no, but I'm saying it's literally the same thing you guys are doing on Stacker News, or not y'all, but like, you know what I mean? Like the same.
No, it's not. The same. It's pretty different. Like the mechanics of the contest are very different.
But there's a fiction competition on Stacker News.
There is, but the rules are way different.
Yeah, it's right here. Where is it? Right here. Right here. Stacker News Fiction Month with the 200K sat prize, and has all the guidelines that you have to do. It's not. I mean, it's not Brad Mills money, but
no. But it's also just the rules of the contest are way different.
But it's pleb money. You know, it's like 200K proper suits. You know, it's 1 acre money, you know, in 5 years. We talked about this. So that's what I would do. Stackers, go out there and snacker pill them. So, I don't know. You got any other thoughts besides this? I mean, It's unfortunate, but you can't do anything. It's Grok's fault. I don't think it's Brad Mills' fault, obviously. It's just,
well,
you know, it's
just, I think it falls on Brad Mills. I think it's
really, why?
I think it does. I mean, if, like, say you do hackathons, right? So you pick hackathon judges. If you have Grok judging your hackathons and Grok for some reason is unavailable to judge your hackathons, you don't say no one gets a prize.
Well, I would never let Grok judge.
Okay.
Personally.
Yeah. Cause that's like an executive decision that you made to not let Grok judge. Cause it's a bad idea.
I would never do a hackathon on Twitter though.
Do you get the point of my comparison or not?
I think you're trying to say that
you would feel responsible. You would want to make sure that someone got paid for the hackathon, even if your design of it was poor, right? You would not leave people hanging because let's say you, let's change it up a bit. You picked a judge that didn't show up. They were sick. They were out. So you don't say, oh, you guys all built the software, but you know what? The judge isn't here, so I'm not going to pay you.
Let me think this through real quick. Because I think what you're trying to say is Brad Mills should own this. That's what I think you're trying to say, right? You're trying to say Brad Mills should own
He should see the competition through even without Grok.
That's what you're saying.
Regardless of who we pick to judge. Change the judge.
I'm saying it's unfortunate because the platform, which is X, and the person that he chose, which is Grok, doesn't work because
Okay, so if you were throwing a hackathon, the judge didn't show up, and people built a bunch of software for the hackathon, the design was poor.
I think you're trying to insert me into a...
I'm trying to put you in Brad Mills' position, and
which
should suggest to you that Brad Mills is making the bet as being...
I don't decision. Like, personally. Okay,
all right, well...
Yeah.
We can just move on to the next story. It seems like
trying to answer your question, but you won't let me answer the question.
Well, you don't want to answer my question. You don't like my question.
No, I'm trying to have a conversation with you, but you won't let me answer it.
Okay, answer.
I'm trying to answer. So I'm just trying to understand the question first. So the question is, you're saying that this is Brad Mills' fault. Is that right?
No, I said what I said. I said that Brad Mills should take ownership of the contest that he created, that even if it's design, if the contest design was poor, it's his fault. And he needs to figure out what to do to make it work and make people whole for all the effort that they put into the contest that he designed poorly.
Okay. Now I understand what you're saying. Okay. I'm saying the structure of the whole thing, him just doing it on X, is the problem here. I don't personally think it's his fault, per se. I think it's the platform itself. That's what I'm saying. But, yeah.
I think that's not the issue I'm discussing. I'm discussing what happens when you make a mistake and choose the wrong platform, what to do now.
Yeah. Okay, so you're saying, like, hypothetically, if there's a person that chooses the wrong platform, what should that person do going forward?
Yeah.
How
should they proceed?
How should they proceed? Yeah, you kind of have to own it, right? Yeah. But I don't know. Anyways. Okay, let's move on to the next story. The cheapest lightning setup that actually works tested in Cuba. This is from Kleos 545, August 3rd, Lightning Territory. 23 comments, 7,806 sets. Keon, what's going on in Cuba?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if this is actually a real setup they tried, because it turned like this post came out, and then this poster went on to write a bunch of AI slop garbage post, but maybe this is a genuine post, but it also doesn't make sense if you actually read it, where they
like
said
here, like this AI slop you're saying.
No, I'm not sure about the content of the actual post. It might be, I don't know, but they went on to most of their responses, both in the comments and other posts they created later, were like AI slop. But also this post itself does not make sense entirely, because they say, Here's the cheapest lightning setup that actually works in Cuba. And then they kind of list two setups. And like they say, one of them is Core Lightning run with Electors on an Android phone. And they mention that, but that is not, that's not a Lightning setup. That's just a Bitcoin node. Or that is, I don't think they.
I feel like I've seen this person post before. Haven't they posted before about this?
No, I think this was their first post on Stacker News.
What have they posted about before?
The internet to actually load.
Which topic deserves?
Anyway, but the topic of the post is, you know, you're in Cuba. You maybe have poor internet connection. How do you get people onboarded to Lightning?
Oh, so he just came around in August. That can't be right. Where are we in? Are we in August?
We are in August.
Wow, he just came on board, what, August 2nd? He's a new stacker. Okay. So he's a new stacker. All right.
Anyway, he set up Core Lightning Electors on his phone. So I guess that is a Lightning setup, but then he describes an Ellenbits and Phoenix D for local merchants. So I'm not sure. His title describes one Lightning setup, but then his post hints at one Lightning setup, and then his post describes two. The way I originally read this was that, okay, maybe he has an Android phone version of how he might set up a merchant, and then he has a Phoenix D version of how he sets up a merchant with Ellenbits, because you're not going to, I don't believe you can run Ellenbits on your phone. I don't believe you can run Phoenix D on your phone either. Maybe you can, but my understanding is you cannot. And then he also describes copying data from his friend's node using an SD card, but I don't, maybe he means that for the Android setup, because Phoenix D does not need a full node.
So maybe, you know, it's possible, and I've run into this before. So I was talking to a builder this week. I won't say who it was, but he had a translator. So maybe what he's doing, he's using ChatGPT to translate. So maybe there's some translation issues going on here. Maybe that's what's going on, I'm thinking.
It could be. I mean, if ChatGPT, I wouldn't use ChatGPT to translate if it's going to change the meaning of your post.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I'm confused by. I don't know. Anyway, if this is an earnest post, I could imagine Ellenbits and Phoenix D working quite well together for a merchant, because you don't need a lot of hardware. You don't need a large, you don't need a lot of disk space, because you don't have to store the whole blockchain.
Yeah.
And Ellenbits has a lot of features and plugins that would support a merchant well. And then Core Lightning and Electors, I believe you would still need to run. I don't know if you can back Core Lightning with just Electors, because Electors is, I don't think it has a, it might have a complex block filter node built in. I don't know though. My understanding is it's something you run alongside a Bitcoin Core node.
Yeah, I remember seeing this one back in the day. I remember seeing this first post. I remember seeing this one when he says, yep, blackouts, no mobile data, still stacking sats, living in Cuba, means getting creative. Thunder Games, once powers up, download once, play offline, claim sats later, using Wallet Satoshi, Play Store is blocked. Like, yeah, I remember seeing this, and then I comment, sats flow in, even with spotty internet. And so he's just having like electricity issues. I remember seeing that, or maybe it was somebody else that posted that. But whenever I see this kind of stuff, and maybe this is just the American guy in me, I don't know. So maybe I'm out of turn saying it, but to me, that feels like a community issue. That doesn't really feel like a Bitcoin fixes this issue. You know what I mean?
Not exactly, but. Yeah.
Interesting.
Anyway, he wrote about the Lightning. If it's earnest, he wrote about the way they're working with Lightning in Cuba right now, which is pretty interesting. And you can imagine with limited internet, the setups that he describes probably work pretty well. I don't know how well something like Phoenix D works with unreliable electricity. You know, if your electricity goes out, your internet goes out, just Phoenix D snap back up well enough? Probably okay, because I think they're using Async's LSP
yeah.
to do trampoline routing. So maybe you are okay, but to receive a payment, you still need to be online, is my understanding with PhoenixD. And so your electricity needs to be on and your internet needs to be up. But
yeah, I mean, I guess we'll be dealing with this here pretty soon in America at some point. So
will we be? Why?
I think so. I mean, I think this is going to happen at some point. I mean, me and Ted were talking about it earlier, but like hard times are coming. Hard times coming everywhere. So
to the point where we don't have internet and electricity?
I think so. I think so. What do you think, Ted? You were just talking about this earlier. Like, do you want to jump on that mic and talk about it? Yeah. What were you saying earlier?
Speed.
Like, what were you saying earlier about the 2030s and Paraguay and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. So the United States has to roll its debt to pay for itself. And you've got a Laffer curve situation with tax receipts. So the government can't extract more value out of the population once the money printers were removed. That's all, you know, that's one of the big benefits mm-hmm. of Bitcoin. The problem for the US in particular is that you have Medicaid, Medicare, and defense, three things that everyone pretty much unanimously wants, and you have democracy. And so it's encoded into law. They cannot cut these things. And then we're like 20% over budget. And a lot of that is interest payments. So the only way this is being funded is through inflation and debt issuance. When you remove the money printer, you also remove the ability for the government to print, to take on endless debt, because the rates have to hit the Bitcoin hurdle rate, which is 30% CAGR right now. Maybe it's 20% CAGR in the future. So you add all that together and you get a government that has to shrink, but it's legally, it legally cannot shrink. So like, even if Trump, like, you know, Doge tried to cut, but they couldn't cut. And none of the, like, the majority of Americans do not want it to shrink. It's encoded into law that it cannot just shrink. They cannot just like pass a reconciliation bill that shrinks it. They have to like vote and get the law passed. And every politician is incentivized based on their voter base to vote against that. And so you end up with a situation where the government is scrambling to get dollars. And that's where you end up with a hostile US government looking after, you know, potential scapegoats, which could be Bitcoiners. So I just view that not as an inevitability, but as a significant possibility. I would personally, my odds are like coin flip odds. So it could be 25%, it could be 75% likely. Enough that is going to make me consider, you know, different jurisdictions as a backup.
All right. So, yeah. So they could attempt to confiscate Bitcoin effectively.
Confiscate Bitcoin, just go after wealth, exit tax, unrealized capital gains tax.
You guys were talking about the electricity going out, though?
We were just talking about like how like the Citadel is the path forward. Like that's definitely the path forward. And then what you were talking about, the Paraguay thing, like it's like that's the safety net.
That's where you'd go, is to Paraguay?
Well, I think you just want to be, I don't really know where you go, to be honest, but I think like getting outside of larger countries is probably helpful. Like being in Texas is probably better than being in Massachusetts. Sure. But is like, you know, Texas is a pretty large entity. It's an institution. It's tied to the US. Like, so maybe being in El Salvador is better than being in Texas, or maybe being in a community outside of El Salvador, or like, is Paraguay better than Argentina? Even if Argentina has got kind of a libertarian orientation right now, it's a big government that has a whole system. Yeah. And if big financial systems are the things that are failing, then maybe you kind of want to be outside any of those big.
But aren't the smaller countries more dependent on like bigger outside third parties usually? And that's how like a lot of them are like dollarized.
Yeah, some of them are dependent.
Yeah.
Some of them, like in Paraguay's specific case, like, you know, it has all the internal like food and water resources that it needs. Mm. So, and it doesn't really take on IMF funding. But other countries do take on those things, and they are dependent. Like, you can even look at Hawaii in the US. You know, it has, the cost of electricity is very high in Hawaii.
Yeah.
So it's like there's some places that are getting Greenland is being subsidized by Denmark. Mm-hmm. Right. So in those cases, that's a dependency. But you want some place that is, I think I would my instinct would say would be smaller, kind of outside a larger country, self-sufficient, ignorable, politically neutral, kind of a small government and maybe percentage GDP, those kind of things.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a conversation we were having. That's why I think like Citadel path forward for sure. And then like a safety net of a sort. But
yep. Okay.
We got time though.
We got time.
Thank you, Ted.
Thank you, Ted, for that insight. Yeah, we got a little bit of
coin flip humor.
Cool. Let's jump into the next top story. They tried to scam me on the Telegram bot. This is a B57, 13 comments, 3,075 sats. Keon, what's going on Telegram?
Yeah, B57, they write a lot about Venezuela because they lived there for a long time. But they use LNP2B bot, which allows you, it's like kind of a peer-to-peer Bitcoin exchange. And they had a purchase order, I guess, was placed for them, where someone wanted to buy sats from them. And they put up the sats and LNP2B bot holds them. And then the person said that they didn't have enough money to actually complete the order. So then they both canceled the order, them and their counterparty in the trade. And then the person in the counterparty in the trade reached out to them independently and said that they wanted to make a correct new order. And then so this was a scam where they have a fake LNP2P bot reach out to B57 and, kind of made it look a lot like LNP2P bot, such that B57 would send sats to this fake LNP2P bot and then they would get robbed. But B57 had read Darth Coin's guide that they wrote many, many years ago now on Stacker News. And so they had been familiar with scams that happen and what to expect on LNP2P bot.
Good on
and
Darth, so they, dude.
They detected the scam and knew that it was a scam and blocked the scammer. And then I guess they said they also in the LNP2P bot chat, they also share that Darth Coin guide, which was pretty neat that Stacker News is hosting that guide. But yeah, that's the story of LNP2P bot.
Look scam. At this. This only got 505 sats at the time.
In
2022. That's 2022. Crazy. Yeah. Amazing. What did the comments say? Swap Market said, well done, but how to avoid
Man in the Middle.
Oh, Man in the Middle scam. When selling sats and receiving bank payments. Great report. Scores B. Great Ruby. Tons of scammers out there. Be vigilant. Did Darth come in or no? I guess he's building his.
I don't think he saw it.
Yeah. Cool stuff, man.
Yeah. It's a great post.
Yeah. That's awesome. Cool stuff. Do you still use Telegram or no?
I have a Telegram still and people still message me on it.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. I don't use it regularly. It's mostly. Yeah. Customer support if someone for some reason can't email me or something.
Yeah, I'm completely off of Telegram, completely off of Signal. Don't use it anymore.
There are a few chats I'm on there that I like. I like Signal. I still use Signal.
Yeah. Just in person and email, I find it's the best. And Stacker News, obviously. Mine is the best way. Cool. The number one story of the week is socialism in plain sight. This is from Kepford. Oh, wow. I didn't know this was from Kepford. 56 comments, 3,336 sats. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, Kepford was just listing off some ways that socialism shows up in our, in our so-called capitalist society. the ways that kind of hospitals look quite socialist in practice, the way utility companies look quite socialist in practice, firefighters is another one he lists.
Really, firefighters? Interesting.
Yeah, just any by socialist he means like centrally planned, controlled directly or indirectly, or shades of indirectly by the state, the Fed, a variety of different types of price controls. I don't know where he is picking up on price controls in the United States. But then he asked Stackers if there are any that he's missing as far as like where socialist like socialism type industries are present in the United States. And Stackers respond. But power's one. I think the Texas is actually pretty unique in that it has a freer grid than most other states. And that I don't think the state participates much in price controls of the grid relative to other states. And there's outside of Texas, it's treated as sort of a bad thing that we have these market mechanisms setting prices. But I think it depends on your political point of view, whether it's good or bad, as far as I can tell.
Looks like Undisciplined said insurance is a big one. Who is covered and for what and at what rates are all heavily regulated? Plus, some consumers are required to purchase this product. But in construction has a lot of central planning elements through building codes and zoning. What do you think about that one, insurance?
I don't have much experience, but it would make sense to me that because insurance is very closely tied to both fire stuff and homeowners insurance and then hospitals and health insurance.
Yeah, just from what Andy says from Crowd Health, it sounds like it's a big one.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple podcasts with him talking about it. Blockchain Book says, having extensive experience in infrastructure, when things go bad, it's always convenient to blame central planning, but America has countless utility systems and hospitals that operate extremely well and provide excellent service to their customers.
Yeah.
You either see anyone that you couldn't think of?
I don't tend to, it's a hard thing to think about because this requires you to not take things at face value. Cause I think
we've grown accustomed to.
Yeah. And so it's hard to notice how they're maybe.
I think the school system is probably the easiest one to point at.
Oh, that's a pretty good one.
You know, but it's kind of like what you said. It's like, we're so indoctrinated into the system. It's already hard enough to break away from the fiat or like the money. So to then, I think Jimmy Song's like really good. His book is really good. That does this really well.
Fiat ruins everything.
Yeah. But outside of that, I don't know. Interesting. Interesting stuff. Cool. That's all the top stories of the week. We're going to jump into our top stories this week. The first one I wanted to talk about was Apple. So I'm always like the first one to like crap on this company just because, just definitely do. But I just wanted to highlight this one because I think this is like really important. So they announced on the 6th that they're going to commit $100 billion to America, and it's going to be a total of $600 billion over the next 4 years. So if you click on this here, it's a PR release from them. Let's see if it'll work. They're kind of they're doing this whole thing where they're like talking about it, but yeah, it's called the American Manufacturing Program. I think this was actually done like 3 or 4 years ago. I think Trump did the bulk of this work. But they're partnering with like big manufacturing firms. Corning does their glass. So like a lot of this has already been done, but they're just moving a lot of jobs from China to America. And a lot of them are in Texas and the Midwest. But it's cool because what's really cool is like, So a lot of this was already happening. And I had been getting a lot of these like newsletters and like, cause I'm like really well like newslettered in into all the stuff that's happening locally. So I've been seeing a lot of this stuff fly in on my desk. And I was like, oh, why is all this stuff happening? Like in 2023, 2024. And I never put like two and two together, but yeah, sure enough, like all this stuff was ramping up, and it was all ramping up because of the stuff that they were about to announce or the stuff that was already being announced. So there, now there's all these semiconductor, like, you know, just certificates that that people can get just out of high school, go to a 12-month kind of thing, and they can become a technician. It's really, really cool. You're gonna make a lot of jobs. Anyway, just wanted to shout out Apple for spending some money in America. I think it's really important. Simple Stacker said, are we winning now? I think it's better than losing. The other thing I wanted to share was PlubLab. So PlubLab got at least, we submitted a, me and Teresa submitted a panel for South by Southwest earlier this year, not thinking anything of it. I was like, hey, you know, let's just try it. And we actually made it through. And so now, if you wanted to, you can go and vote for us. You just click this heart here. You have to create an account, but you just click this heart here. And once you do, we can potentially give a presentation. It's kind of up in the air whether I'll do like a fireside or something, but maybe we can just do a Stacker News Live. That would be kind of funny. Mm-hmm. And just called it Building Bitcoin Startups in a Hackerspace.
Oh, dude.
Technically, I have one or two speakers. I don't know, but I have time. I have time for a whole half a year.
Well, they decide where your venue, right? So they can put you in like a remote venue.
Yeah. So like it's very, I mean, to be honest, like it's a really rare thing that will get picked. But if we do, like how big will that be? Like the fact that we made it past the first round is cool. I think if we get enough votes, that'll at least help us. And then we can make it past the second round. Cause they end all the votes the 24th the 24th right there. So if we make it past that round, then we get selected. If we get selected, then boom, we're in. And then at that point, we'll be able to like start like figuring out what the presentation is going to be and stuff like that. But
it's not pure. So it's not pure community voting. It's also, they have like,
They have to make the final vote. Yeah. But it definitely helps if there's like 100 people that vote for you, right? Like it's like, hey, we can fill up the room with 100 people, then that can sell potentially more tickets, or 1,000 people, then they know they're going to sell more South by Southwest tickets. Like if the person can drive people to register, then they could probably drive ticket, you know.
Cool.
They are running a business. So anyway, like if you want to help PlubLab, then definitely register and consider. If you don't know what PlubLab is, I think most people don't know what it is, because it's just locally here in Austin, and then I think they're expanding to London and some other places. But it's a very normie conference, but it's a global conference now. So like it potentially could lead to all sorts of synergy. Getting the names of all the people inside of PlubLab, their name out there, potentially getting Stacker News out there. Who knows? We'll see. What do you think about that, Goob?
Gar, I think that's cool. I think that'd be pretty neat. I think
pretty
it'd be
cool, right?
At least funny.
Yeah.
To have PlubLab on stage at South by Southwest. So
yeah, I think it'd be cool too.
Yeah. Wait, it's a panel? Does it say, why does it say panel? Is that, are you listed as a panel, or would you be joining?
It's a
panel?
Called you click on the link here. It's called a format presentation, one to two speakers. So it could be whatever you want.
Oh, okay. So it's not, it just for some reason says panel. Okay.
Panel picker.
Oh.
At the very top right here. You can't see my screen, but it says South by Southwest panel picker.
I see. They call even a normal talk probably a panel.
Yeah. Okay. It's you get it's fluid. It could be whatever you want it to be.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's cool. So if you guys are listening out there or watching, head over there and vote, please. And I think that's all the ones I have. Keon, let's jump into yours. Could inverse page rank save us from boring sequels? What's this?
Yeah, we can go through my stories pretty fast, but Scoresby wrote this post about how a lot of the content he gets in newsletters or sees on X or whatever is kind of repetitive. It's just like sort of a repackaging by a different author. The same sentiment, the same kind of story, and that, you know, and it sort of describes like why he thinks we might do that, why we sort of have this like herding or flocking behavior around information. But he's wondering if we can break, if part of that might be broken by using different ranking algorithms, in that, because PageRank, Google's PageRank, how they rank search results, is it's basically saying, do a lot of people link to this website? And if they do, then that ranks higher. And so he's saying, what if you flip that? And what if we prioritize showing people information that that doesn't have a lot of mind share yet? And might that create a more interesting information environment? I just thought it was an interesting thought, and, you know, fun to think about. I think you probably want to end up somewhere in the middle where you actually don't want a complete inverse of page rank. You want something that has some popularity already, but you probably don't want, in many cases, you probably don't want the most popular thing if you're looking for an interesting new idea. And so I thought that was cool.
Really cool.
You see that already with Kagi. So Kagi's a Google competitor, a privacy-focused Google competitor, and it's paid, so they don't have ads. But they prioritize websites that have fewer ads on them, prioritize small web, was what they call, you know, more like personal blogs and that kind of thing. So you see some of this showing up in the market already, like some demand. And Kagi, as far as I know, is a successful bootstrap business.
It's just like that 37 Signals book that we were talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like it's like the features that you have on your platform are doing all the talking for you about what you actually value as a company. Oh, it's really cool. Really cool stuff. Cool. The next one that you had was, where is it at here? Where is it at? Movad accepting Lightning payments.
Yeah. So they officially launched their Lightning payment support. I think a few months ago they had announced that they were planning on supporting Lightning payments, and I think they had it in beta. But this is like, it's full on release now, which is pretty awesome. And they also even list their Node pub key for you to open a channel to them so they can get some cheap inbound liquidity. But yeah, I just thought that was pretty cool and worth mentioning that, you know, Movad is probably the biggest VPN provider. Certainly one of the oldest highly trusted VPN providers. And
more than Proton, you think?
They're accepting Lightning. I think they've been around before Proton had a VPN. But that's my understanding at least. And yeah, I think a lot of privacy-minded people have been using them for a long time. I think they have some history of denying subpoenas for IP addresses. I think they also have some policies that are like pretty hardcore as far as privacy. I don't actually know though, and you know, they might have gag orders around subpoenas that they did comply with. I don't know, but
wow, so it looks like they link right to LND and stuff. Interesting. Cool. Are you gonna switch or are you going to?
I use Movad already.
Oh, you do? Interesting. Yeah.
But I pay with fiat currently. So.
How much are they right now? Is there $5 a month?
In euros.
Euros.
$5.82 in dollars.
That's not bad. Maybe no. I'll switch because I'm using Proton.
Is Proton more expensive?
It's free.
It's free?
Oh, if you have a Proton email, well, that's pretty good. And their email is cheap. It's like $4. So you're already paying.
Interesting.
But it is nice to have things not all bundled together. I feel like that's like sort
of a privacy
concern.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe I'll give it a spin for a month. See how that goes. What did the stacker say? Swap Market said they just announced weird. I paid via Lightning a month ago. Cool. Yeah.
I think the beta, I don't know if they changed the prominence of it or maybe this marks them officially releasing it and it was already sort of released.
I think it kind of just goes to that adage in Bitcoin where nobody notices when you make announcements, so you can just keep making them. You know what I mean? I forget who said that in the lab one time. And I was like, you're so right. That is true. But somebody said that one time and it always stuck to me.
I mean, it's dishonest, but yeah, it probably does work.
Yeah. I don't think, I mean, I'm not saying they did that, but I'm saying like, that's why when I saw this comment, I was like, oh, I don't remember them making it though, but.
They do. EK links to it here. They've announced it.
Oh, everywhere. They did? Yeah. Where this one?
Yep.
But did they actually announce it? No, they didn't. Not through a blog post.
Not through a blog post, but they released it in beta. I think if you were using it already.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe they just said it like it was kind of like stealth kind of thing. They were just testing it. Yeah. Cool. That's awesome. I'll definitely get tested out. And then the last one was the Tornado Cash stuff. Did you, well, I guess we kind of talked about it earlier with the lady that came in this week.
Yeah. Well, the verdict came down and it looks like there was no decision. They not guilty or not guilty on two of the charges. I believe and that one of those charges was money laundering. And I think the other one was sanctions violation. So the jury just reached a deadlock and I think those two charges will be considered like a mistrial. And then the one charge remaining that he was, found guilty on was intent to run an unlicensed money transmission business. And I guess that is like the most, as they've done a few interviews with Roman Storm or Rage reporters, I've done a few interviews with Roman Storm following the verdict. And his legal team thinks that that is maybe the easiest charge to appeal. And so they're actually pretty optimistic. It also carries the shortest sentence, only 5 years, up to 5 years in prison. And they also allowed Roman Storm to stay out on bail, which is nice. So during the appeals process, he'll be able to be a free man. Yeah, I think sentiment generally in the community is this is pretty bad. This because Tornado Cash was non-custodial, this would suggest that running a Lightning routing node would make you an unlicensed money transmitter, which runs counter to most legal advice that you'd receive prior to this verdict. But there's some hope that it'll get appealed and won, or one of the BRCA, which we've talked about on this podcast before, might get into law protections for people running non-custodial Bitcoin services. Anyway, I thought this was worth mentioning. It's a big news story this week.
Yeah, I really don't have any thoughts on it, to be honest. Yeah. Cool. Let's go to the next one here. Where is the Meta? Let's jump into Meta. SN release more live R live comments with Auto Show. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, so we talked about live comments. Sox has been working on it. Before, you would get like a little indicator when a new comment would show up when you're on a thread. And now they just show. And what was cool about this
is... Yeah, so how does this work? Show me here.
Okay.
Show me. Oh, no, I can't do it on here. But yeah, show me on here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're viewing it. I have to go to that post now.
Sucks.
All right. So I should be able to just write a comment here.
Will I see it as a non, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in Riverside earlier, so we were testing that and was unable to go live on Riverside. So we got to.
There you go. There's my comment. It just showed up.
I don't see it, though.
You do see it. It's right there.
Oh, it just showed up. So I don't see the little new.
No, there's no indicator anymore. It just shows up now. And Sox did some really clever work that.
I kind of liked seeing that thing.
Okay. Well.
It doesn't matter. I mean, it's fine.
Sox did some really clever work that requires him to hook into the browser's animation cycle so that he can prevent the browser from scrolling around as we inject a bunch of stuff in the page. Which is really cool. That was our biggest concern with auto showing them, but he managed to make it work really well.
Is that what we're supposed to feel like now with live comments?
If you want to, yeah.
Just feel like Peter Thiel riding a wave, the live comment wave. Pretty cool. Yeah, it's pretty neat, man.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. He has a few other PRs lined up that will improve it further and make it a lot better.
Yeah.
But this is our plan is to eventually use all of this code to provide direct messages. And so you'll have effectively these threads.
Yeah. How are you seeing messages? That? Like, how are you seeing that playing out?
Like this.
It'll so play. We'll be able to DM, you think, on Stacker News?
Yeah, eventually. But the main thing blocking DMs is we need an end-to-end encryption. System because we don't want to provide plain text DMs because people end up writing private things in them. And they think that no one can read them and people can. So I don't want to have that happen. So once we have end-to-end encryption working,
then you think that's going to be tough to figure out?
No, I don't think so. It's a pretty well understood problem now. And there's a lot of research and implementations, open source implementations that are available that we could use to our advantage, but we just use a signal-like protocol, a double ratchet protocol, which has most of the features of an end-to-end encrypted system that you'd want. And we have a pretty good handle on storing secrets in the browser now that we've done a lot of non-custodial wallet stuff, so we could store those encryption keys in the browser securely. And it should work well. It'll just take time for us to do.
I think the only thing I would much prefer is like, I just don't want anybody DMing me. I think that's the biggest thing. Is like, if you're going to knock on my door, like at least have a fence. You know what I mean? Like, does that make sense?
Yeah. We'll have paywalls. So DM.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to call it a paywall because I think that's the wrong interpretation. I want a fence around my house.
You call it a pay gate. I would just that it would be, you know, you want to DM Jenny Song.
I think the fence is the correct term. It's like a pay fence. It's like, you know, it's like there's fences around properties. And if you look at Stacker News, it's like you have territories. There's this kind of like sovereign thing around it. Like even in the cowboy era, there was like, you know, you'd have around your property, you would have like gates or you would build like a little, I mean, you know what I mean? Like you could use your imagination around it, but like, I think there's something to be said around people just cold DMing me. Like that's one thing I hate about it. I hate about Twitter. I hate about Telegram. I hate about Signal is like just these randos thinking they could just DM you for no reason. It's like, no, man, like go into town, go find out where Carr lives and then, you know, drop a little envelope in his mailbox. Be respectful. You know, that's how they used to do it back in the old days.
Well, I don't, we will have paid DMs. I don't know what we'll call them, but that is the plan. The main things are getting it working, getting a chat like system working really well, just for threads as is, which is what this work is. And then end to end encryption.
That's cool.
The payment should be, cause we have the payment stuff pretty well figured out.
Super cool, dude. That's going to be really cool.
Yeah. Hopefully it comes sooner rather than later, but you never know.
Dang, bullish. Yeah, that's gonna be really fun, dude. Cool. Let's jump into the, oh yeah, the last one. Oh, I put it in the wrong section. The other one I want to bring up was growing Stacker News from the bottom, uprising. So Sicky posted this, I don't know what day it was. Was it the 7th? When was the 7th? Yesterday. And so he kind of went into this like very fond thing about Stacker News, and he talked about like where it started, and he realized that there were some legal problems with the non-custodial or legal problems with the custodial stuff, and the focus that you had to shift from that to non-custodial, and you know how long that took. And he talked about the territory stuff, and you know, and how he has 5 territories. But then he shined on the Gray Ruby way, which I, you know, Gray Ruby, somebody on Stacker News that really does it the right way, and I don't think he gets a lot of flowers his way. Maybe he does, but him and Undisciplined, you know, they really do a good job on Stacker Sports, and you know, they just announced the Fantasy Football League this week, and they really go out of their way to make that a really good community. They even have a pod now, and then so he highlights the Gray Ruby way. He says, "You might remember that Gray Ruby started Stacker Sports before territories even existed." And he didn't wait around or ask permission. He just started posting his sports posts right in the meta territory. And he kind of just hit the ground running. I didn't even know Gray Ruby had 2 accounts. Is that what he's saying right there? 2 Gray Ruby is generous. I guess so. Yeah, I didn't know that. And then he said, territories represent specific interests. He goes, I've been one of those clamoring for sub territories. I think you said that's going to happen at some point. Mm-hmm. But I think what he was trying to say here is like there's other things that you can write about inside your territories besides just what the territory represents. And so he talked about how he's going to start sharing some other things outside of the Bitcoin space or outside the Bitcoin, typical Bitcoin things. I already kind of do that, but I don't throw it all in the builder territory. I'll throw it in like the movie territory or the music territory or in the politics law territory. Like I'll just drop different things and even stuff that I'm just like interested in. I'll drop it in the music territory or, you know, I don't expect anybody to read it, but it's very possible that you can grow Stacker News without, you know, talking about Bitcoin. And I think that's what he's trying to explain here. But anyways, did you read this at all?
I did read it.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, I thought it was a good post. Wanted to share it because I didn't think it was going to be in the top 5. But I thought it was...
It got close.
It got close, but thought it was a good post by Siggy. It was a cool post. It really talked about the Gray Ruby, who I think is a really good example of a good stacker on Stacker News. Cool. The other one I wanted to share was... Where is it at? Pleb Poet. She has the number 20 zine, which is the fiction zine. Did you see this one?
I did see it.
Well, I don't know what that image is, though.
Looks like, I don't know, like a warp, like someone's entering a warp, like a, you know, like a spaceship going into like warp speed.
That's interesting. Reading is fun. Oh, this looks like a collage.
Yeah.
I think that's cool.
Reading is fun, writing is magic. Are the 2 phrases
she said, read the web version here. So she has it on Git. It's going to take a while to load, probably. Oh, look at that. SN Bits, the Wild Woolly, the Free, the Few. That's cool. Anything stand out?
It just features quite a few of the fiction stories this month. Sayudaji, which we went over last week, I think. A few of the other like nonfiction posts that we that were top this week. I think it has like three of the fiction stories in it. It features my OpenAIDS 10 story that I wrote. As our Bitcoin meme for the week.
Wow. Oh, she put the Siggy post in there. That's cool. Nice. And then, so that's all of it. Then you can purchase your copy down here. Pretty cool. I think that's everything that we got for Stacker News Live this week. Let's jump into the top Cowboys. Top Cowboys. Let's see if I can go home. Top Cowboys. Keon.
Oh.
Gideon up. The top Cowboys of the week.
It looks like these haven't changed. I always say that because I don't really know, but I think for real,
they haven't. The top five hasn't changed.
Yeah,
and I think everybody's completely open now that we're in the heart of the bull.
Yeah, it's really exciting right this week. Nothing's changed. Baby. So
right in the bull. Oh, we got Siggy top one, Goob, Undisciplined, Blockchain Boog, Gray Ruby. That rounds out the top five.
Dude, I spent 31 million sats. It's crazy.
Yep. You got number six, Coins Reporter, Public Enemy, Stacker and Hiding's number eight. I actually have no idea who number eight is, to be honest. But I don't even have a clue. Rothbardian Fanatic, and then We Are All Satoshi round out the top 10. Aardvark, who I haven't seen make a post in a while.
He must be
just commenting.
He's been busy with life stuff. He's selling his house right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get a post on that. Got EK climbing up the ranks, number 12. Optimism, who I've seen a lot. I comment on a lot of Optimism posts, I've noticed.
They share a lot of great content. But their AI territory is banging.
He's definitely one of my stackers of the year. I have him up for stackers of the year for sure.
Oh, Optimism. Wow.
Yeah, for
sure. Who were the previous year winners?
I think last year was probably Undisciplined, I think. I don't know if, was it Darthcoin that got pissed off last year when they did that whole kind of nomination thing, remember? Was it Darthcoin that got pissed off when Coins were
pissed
off? They did like Stackers of the Year and they did like Territory maybe, of the Year.
But they've always had a contentious relationship.
Yeah. Anyway, he's definitely up there for Stacker of the Year, I would say. Scoresby is another one who I've been reading a lot of posts. Who else we got? End of the Mic Dev, Billy the Kid.
It's Endothermic, I believe.
Oh, wait, is that really?
Yeah.
End of the Mic. I guess I just.
I say endothermic, but it might That's be.
Funny.
End other mic.
You know why I read it? End of the Mic. There was a blog, a music blog called End of the Mic or something.
I wonder which it is because it doesn't have any capitals or underscores. So I read it as endothermic, but
it probably is. Damn, that's funny how you can read things differently. Billy the Kid. What's he got? Libertus BR. There I go. 26. Who got 21? South Korea Lightning. Carter, Sox, Daedalus, 0x Bitcoiner, Bell Curve. Dude, I was talking to Bell Curve on that Nick Carter post. He knows a lot about banking system. I was like, wow, I wonder what he does for a living.
Maybe he's a banker.
Maybe, I think he is. So there's that. Then we got Kepford 44, Hard Money. There's Oscar. Got Pleb Poet 60, Cascader Jim, Plebleb. Got HN Bot, Cleofas, Stack Harder, Team U Pleb, Sat Be Good. Max, we got Max there at 93, Albie at 95, Peter Todd 97, and it's Tomic.
They posted about their Honduras.
Tomic did?
Yeah.
Oh, boss, here, let me see, where is it at? Hosts? Oh, yeah, boss, hell yeah, dude. Yeah, so Tomic is down in the Roatán. He's doing a startup city, it's called the Special Economic Zone, which today is only the Bitcoin jurisdiction. So he's super excited. He's just down there. This is his Luma. Let's see if we can show it. See if it loads.
He's throwing a conference or what is he doing?
Well, he wanted me to go down there in November, but I don't know. It's still too early, you know? It's like we're in August right now. I just don't know what.
Okay, so this is what he wants you to go to.
We got to get through October 1st. I told him I'll know where we're at in September. I don't think he watches the show, so. But yeah, it looks. I mean, it looks like a blast, dude. I mean, it looks amazing. But yeah, any stackers are in the area. Definitely keep an eye on Prospera for sure. 100%. It's gonna be 200,000 sats. Definitely, if you're a stacker that needs, like that's in the area, definitely reach out to him. He needs the help. This is what it's like building a grassroots movement. It takes everybody. Cool. Yeah, that's cool. I didn't know he was on Stacker News.
Yeah.
How long has he been on Stacker News, Keon?
For a long time now, I guess.
Wow. Yeah. Maybe he does watch a show.
Oh, I doubt he watches the show. I mean, We have more stackers than people that watch the show.
Oh, that's cool. And then I think that's everybody. Cool. That's all of Stacker News Live this week. Keon, what are you doing? What are you doing this weekend?
Nothing special. I'll try to finish reading this book. I'm liking it so far. Actually, it's Real Fake, a stacker that I met a few years ago in person. He recommended this book to me.
Oh, the Cory Doctorow one?
Yeah.
What is it about? Rock Away.
It's a sci-fi book. I haven't gotten too far in it, but you know, it's sort of like they're kind of post-economic, post-scarcity. It's supposed to feature a lot of open source hacker ethos stuff. So it has like a blend of economics and like sci-fi hacker stuff. The Neal Stephenson says, the Bhagavad Gita of hacker maker burner open source Git new wiki 99% adjunct faculty anonymous shareware thingiverse cypherpunk LGBTQIA /squatter upcycling culture zipped down into a pretty damn tight techno thriller with a lot of sex in it.
Sounds right up your alley.
Okay. I'm pretty sure you mean that as an insult, I think it was, that's like a jokey blurb for the book. But
oh, okay.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's just supposed to be future culture stuff. And so far it's written really fun.
Okay.
Yeah. And I find it really enjoyable.
That's cool, man.
That's what I'll do. How about you? What are you doing this weekend?
I'm going to be working this weekend, tomorrow working. But yeah. Should be fun.
Neat. Cool.
Yeah, stackers. Yeah, you go out there, you find a book that you find a lot of fun, and you write about it, or let us know what you're reading. I feel like there used to be like a book club or something. We don't have a book club anymore.
I don't think we ever had a book club.
Weren't you guys reading the Lynn?
Oh, we did have a That was one. That was the only book club we've done. We were gonna do, a Jordan Peterson book club on his new book. One? Yeah, Den was going to do it, but I think that kind of lost steam. I don't think a lot of people were reading along with him. We don't really have.
Maybe you should do that one.
Book clubs are hard to organize because you have to get a court. Most people don't read, and then you have to get them to read the same book at the same time. Lynn Alden's was perfect because
everybody was reading it. Yeah,
yeah, it had just come out, and everyone was looking for a book that was maybe a little.
It was the right timing.
Yeah, a little different than the Bitcoin standard.
Plus, it was like during the bear market, kind of, right?
It was in 2023, so it was definitely in the bear market.
So there was enough, you know, hodler conviction. Makes sense.
Mm. Yeah. Well, maybe someday we'll have enough stackers again to have a real book club, but I don't think we have enough right now.
Cool.
Yep.
Stackers, have yourself a great weekend. Keon.
What's that?